As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic. It's Friday the 12th of April. I'm Tim Spears and on today's show... Liverpool stunned by Atalanta.
That's Liverpool's joint worst ever home defeat in Europe, and you've got to say Atalanta deserved it.
Villa warm up for Arsenal trip with another European win.
Champions League's there to play for right now, fourth and fifth place. It's there, especially after the draw at Brentford on Saturday.
And what changes are coming to the Premier League next season?
It's going to be introduced early next season, probably not at the start of the season though. I think we're going to have to wait after one of the autumn international breaks.
This is the Daily Football Briefing with Tim Spears.
We'll start with last night's action, and if you don't know the results yet, prepare to be stunned. Liverpool, unbeaten at home since February 2023, were probably expecting a fairly comfortable night at Anfield against Atalanta, who are currently 6th in Serie A and some 32 points behind the leaders Inter. Instead, it finished Liverpool 0, Atalanta 3 in the first leg of their Europa League quarter-final.
Scamacca plays it through for Ederson, and there's Pašalić! 3-0 Atalanta! It just got a whole lot more unbelievable. The most famous night in their whole history.
Remember Gianluca Scamacca, the guy who flopped at West Ham, scoring only 3 Premier League goals last season? Well, he scored twice at Anfield, and then an ex-Chelsea player by the name of Mario Pašalić, nope, me neither folks, rubbed salt in the wounds with a late third goal. Jurgen Klopp has overseen some unforgettable European nights at Anfield, but barring a miracle in Italy next week, he may have saved his worst for last. Here's James Pearce to try and sum it all up.
I think Jurgen Klopp summed it up perfectly post-match when he said Liverpool were guilty of losing the plot at Anfield. It was, you know, pretty mind-boggling just how poor they were, by far and away their worst performance of the season, when you think there's been so much talk about Klopp's Anfield reign potentially coming to a conclusion in Dublin with that Europa League final on May the 22nd. Well, you know, those hopes are really slim now. You know, that's Liverpool's joint worst ever home defeat in Europe. And you've got to say Atalanta deserved it. It didn't flatter them. You know, Liverpool got bullied by the Serie A outfit. They won so many battles all over the pitch. Yes, Liverpool should have done better with a couple of the goals, I think. Quvin Kelleher had a real mixed night, made some big saves, but was also guilty of being found wanting a couple of times. But yeah, Liverpool were far too meek. Probably the biggest challenge for Klopp now, forget that second leg in Italy next Thursday. The biggest challenge is going to be trying to lift chins off the floor, because there's still a Premier League title to be won, and somehow he's got to get a response out of this group of players. Otherwise, you know, we could see both, you know, the Europa League and the Premier League hopes of glory dismantled in the space of a few days.
Elsewhere in the Europa League last night, West Ham looked to be holding on for an impressive goalless draw away at Xabi Alonso's Bayer Leverkusen, but then in the 83rd minute...
Tah, Boniface, he'll score it in! The deadlock is broken! It's Jonas Hofmann!
That was Jonas Hofmann breaking the deadlock, and then Victor Boniface added a second in stoppage time for a 2-0 victory, reflecting Leverkusen's dominance on a night when they had 33 shots to West Ham's 1. Leverkusen are now unbeaten in 42 games in all competitions. They may also travel to London for the second leg next week as Bundesliga champions. They'll clinch the title if they beat Werder Bremen on Sunday. In the big all-Italian clash last night, Gianluca Mancini scored the only goal of the game as Roma, rejuvenated under new boss Daniele De Rossi, won 1-0 away at AC Milan. And in the final tie, Benfica beat Marseille 2-1. Rafa Silva and Angel Di Maria put the hosts 2-0 up, but Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang pulled one back from Marseille, which may prove crucial in next Thursday's second leg. And in the Europa Conference League, it's Aston Villa who hold the advantage over Lille. Goals from Ollie Watkins, who else, and captain John McGinn mean Villa will take a 2-1 lead to France next week. Villa may be enjoying the Conference League this season, but they hope to be playing Champions League football next year. And if they pull off a surprise result at Arsenal on Sunday, they'll come closer to doing just that. I say a surprise, they have already beaten the Gunners this season, and with this being Unai Emery's first return to the Emirates for a match with fans in attendance since he was sacked by the club in 2019, motivation will undoubtedly be high in the away dugout. Our Aston Villa writer Jacob Tanswell was at Villa Park last night. Here's his take on the game and their form going into Sunday.
It's a result and a performance that Unai Emery would take, although there are probably a few more doubts heading into the second leg in 7 days' time. It was a difficult game for Aston Villa. I think they expected to control possession a lot more, but in the end, they struggled with Lille's high ball dominance. I think it was 60% they had overall throughout the game, and Lille played really well. They were very composed from the outset. Aston Villa tried to press, but they play out through the back, and they controlled a lot of the game and restricted Villa, really, and they had a lot of chances of their own. Emiliano Martinez in the first half was phenomenal. Aston Villa could have conceded two or three in that first half had it not been for Martinez sprawling himself in 1v1 situations. It obviously helps as well that they haven't got a game until then. Lille, they've got 7 days where they can prepare solely for the second leg, whereas Villa have to go to the Emirates, probably the biggest test in the moment in the Premier League on Sunday, and before a game on Thursday. So it's a mammoth task facing Unai Emery and his players, and it's a hectic schedule, but they have to focus a lot on the Conference League, but also Champions League's there to play for right now. Fourth and fifth place is there, especially after the draw at Brentford on Saturday. So it's going to be a big week for Aston Villa, and it's important that they get a lot of their vulnerabilities, such as set plays and defending crosses, right, and because you know Arsenal will punish them from set plays. They're the highest scoring team from dead ball situations in the Premier League, so that's another challenge for them.
Elsewhere in the title race this weekend, Manchester City are in action first when they host Luton Town at the Etihad. That's on Saturday at 3 p.m, so not on telly here, but you can watch it in the US at 10 a.m. Eastern Time on Peacock. Then Liverpool are back at Anfield on Sunday at 2 p.m. when Crystal Palace are the visitors. Arsenal v Villa then follows at 4:30 p.m. with both games on Sky. They're both on USA Network in the States at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. respectively. We'll see which Manchester United turns up on the South Coast when they travel to Bournemouth, while Spurs return to the scene of a nightmare 6-1 defeat from last season as they make the long trip to face Newcastle.
You're listening to the Daily Football Briefing from The Athletic.
The Premier League bigwigs had a big meeting yesterday and made some big decisions that will impact the sport from next season onwards. Semi-automated offsides are in, FA Cup replays are out, and financial fair play rules, well, it's complicated, but important. Talking of complicated but important, here's Matt Slater to wade through the agenda and give us some conclusions. Matt, we'll start with semi-automated offsides. Dare I ask, will this improve the way VAR works?
This is the system that already we saw at the World Cup in Qatar. It uses cameras, 12 cameras, I think, in the roof or the sort of, you know, the top of the stands to track all the players. It looks at data points on bodies, and it is just a much quicker way of working out whether someone's offside or not. So FIFA's already been using it. UEFA uses a slightly lo-fi version for the Champions League. That is the one the Premier League are going to go for. It's going to be introduced next season, early next season, probably not at the start of the season, though. I think we're going to have to wait perhaps until after one of the autumn international breaks.
So FFP, PSR, whatever you call it, financial rules, Matt, a massive subject at the moment. Which laws are Man City not going to be punished for next season?
Well, they're going to be replaced. And we've known this for some time. UEFA has already replaced its financial fair play regime and brought in a squad cost control ratio. Now, it's broad. It's based on the same premise that clubs should only spend a proportion of what they bring in. And it's very much targeted on the product you put on the pitch. So where we're working towards and where clubs that play in UEFA club competitions are working towards is a 70% of your turnover you can spend on wages for your first team squad, the coach, transfer fees, which of course is amortized, so that's the cost of a transfer fee spread across the length of a player's contracts, and any agent's fees. So it's very much the product you put on the pitch. Premier League is going to follow suit. However, they're going to do it in a kind of two-speed way. So if you play in European club competition, you have to comply with UEFA's rules, so 70%. However, if you're not playing in Europe, you can go to 85%. So that is to sort of give the non-UEFA clubs, if you like, a chance to compete. It sort of slightly levels the playing field. Now, that is going to be phased in next year. It's going to kind of work in shadow with the existing rules. So we have another year of PSR. But from 25-26, we're going to have squad costs. Now, all the clubs have done is to vote for that in principle. It will all be ratified and some final details sorted out at the AGM, which is in early June.
And also in the FA Cup, no replays next year. That's been on the cards for a while.
The writing's been on the wall here for some time, and that is the scrapping of FA Cup replays. So from the third round onwards, no more FA Cup replays. Ties will be settled on the day, you know, extra time and penalties. Now, that's already been the case from the fifth round onwards. So that was a concession that was given to Premier League clubs, I think, from about 2018-19. They're all gone now, right? So this is to do with fixture congestion. This is to do with Premier League clubs not wanting, if you like, the inconvenience of a replay. They are gone from the third round onwards from next season.
Great stuff. Cheers, Matt. And finally, in other news, another Premier League club have been punished with a points deduction. Sheffield United defaulted on a series of payments to other clubs when they were in the Championship during their 2022-23 promotion campaign. The Blades will be deducted 2 points at the start of their next season in the EFL. So, next season then. And that's all for today's Daily Football Briefing. I've been Tim Spears, your producer was Mike Zimmerman, and the executive producer was Ian McIntosh. Utility man Mr. Zimmerman will be your host on Monday. Until then, have a great weekend.
The Athletic.